Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a discussion about anatomy. So this is a relevant information involving occupational therapy, and we'll talk about anatomy. And for this first part about discussion on anatomy, we'll talk about the hands, because hand is a very important part that occupational therapists are working with. It's part of the body that we need to be an expert of. We don't really have to think about this. It has to be reflexive, like a snap of a finger. You should know about this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I got a feedback from one of the listeners that we have saying that universities in the United Kingdom would not thoroughly go through these anatomical parts because they rely on students to actually be responsible in knowing what it is. The thing is, not a lot of students after university are actually pushed to know about these things. So I think while you're a student, you should know this bang on so that when you qualify, you don't have to study this because these are all foundation knowledge. So we'll talk about the hand, we'll talk about the bones, we'll talk about the structures, the muscles, and some of the nerves as well. Okay, let's start with the bones. There are 27 bones in the hand. So how would you remember this? It's a prime number. Because you have two hands, two, so two, and then seven is a prime number. So 27, that's how you would remember, okay? 27 bones. Is it important? It's good because you'll know and you'll be quick when you go on pub quizzes. Yeah, 27 bones. And you can just count it, right? So there are sections of the hand in terms of the bones. You have carpal or around the wrist. You have the metacarpal. And then you have the phalanges as well. So when it comes to the carpal bones, there are eight. And you would best remember this by remembering the mnemonic scared lovers triposition that they can't handle. That's a very popular one. So it's an international. This mnemonic just crossed. So you go in many parts of the world, this is the most popular one. So scared lovers try position that they can't handle. So S stands for scaphoid or scaphoid. L, lunate. T, triquetrum. P for pisiform. T, trapezium, and then trapezoid, then capitate, and then hamate. Okay. How would you best remember these things? What are some wonderful things about that? So scaphoid is a scaffolding. So it's at the base of the thumb. That's how you would remember it. And then the tricky part here is there are three carpal bones that starts with the letter T. So I best remember it by remembering the trapezoid and trapezium. So that would be both trapeze. But because I starts with O, so you would remember that trapezoid comes in first, trapezium comes in first, and then the trapezoid come in afterward. I, and then trapezoid starts with O, okay? So that's one of the good things to know about that. The pisiform is the smallest sesamoid bone in the body. And what's a sesamoid bone? It just meant that it is a bone that's started as a cartilage when people are young and then it just hardens over time. So pisiform, okay, that's at the base of the ulnar side, okay? There we go. The triquetrum, okay, so that would be more on the proximal side, okay? Yeah. So the trapezium and the trapezoid are more on the distal part. So they're more attached to the metacarpals, okay? And then hamate, there is a hook in the hamate region. So remember that. There is a hook of hamate. And then the capitate would have been the biggest carpal bone in the hand, okay? Those are some fun facts in there, okay? After the carpal bones, we now talk about the metacarpals. which would have been the palm bones. And there are five bones in here. So each metacarpal bone, it forms the framework for the palm, and you can number it from 1 to 5. 1 being the thumb and 5 being the little finger. But the thing is, it's 1 to 5. Sometimes people get confused about which one is which. Some people use T for thumb rather than 1 and then start index finger counting it as 1 and the little finger as 4. So if it's too confusing, you might as well define the location as to where it is. Okay, so that is the metacarpal bone. Okay, not a lot of facts in there, apart from the thumb being away from all those other 4 metacarpals. Now, the phalanges, the finger bones, there are 14 bones in there. Okay, so 14 because in every on fingers, index finger, ring, middle, and little finger, there are 3. So that's 3 times 4, that's 12. And then the thumb only has 2. There we go. It makes it 14. Okay? That's just the fun fact about that. Okay? So those are the bones, and those are the bones of the hands. Okay. Moving on, let's talk about the joints of the hand. When we're talking about the joints, it's usually defined by what bones are connecting to each other. Okay, so like a general area of the bone. So just joint. So in reference, you just refer to the bones and the anatomy. For example, so some of the joints, let's see how many joints. There could be like, there are about 5. Generally, 5 types of joints. So 5 joints, okay? And you have the metacarpal joints, okay? So just by definition, carpo is from the carpal and metacarpal. So that's the joint between the carpal and the metacarpal joints, okay? And this is between the wrist and the metacarpals, okay? So carpometacarpal joints, that's one. And then there's a joint between the metacarpals and the phalanx. And that would have been the metphalangeal joint. Okay, so metacarpal and the phalanx, or the MCP joint. Okay, so you'd hear about these joints. CMC, carpometacarpal, MCP, metacarpophalangeal, and then refer to the number. So index would have been the first or the second MCP joint, okay? So these metacarpophalangeal joints, these are the knuckles. Do you say knuckle joint? Yes, I can understand what that is. But to go by with anatomy, then you go MCP joints. And then, because there are 3 joints in the phalanx, you have the proximal, PIP, yeah, proximal interphalangeal joints. Proximal, inter, that's in between the phalanx. So it's just a Latin converted into English, isn't it? PIP joints. And this is the one, this is the first bending finger joint. Yeah, proximal being, that is the joint that is closer to the body. And then the distal interphalangeal joints, and this would be the tip, the end joints of the fingers, okay? Now, with the thumb, there's no proximal, there is no distal, because you only have 1 interphalangeal joint, okay? You just call it interphalangeal joint of the thumb, okay? Rather than DIP or PIP. Okay? Very good. That's easy enough. Moving on, let's talk about the muscles of the hand. And when you're talking about the muscles of the hand, there are 2 types. One where it's generating from inside the hand itself, which is intrinsic. And the other one are muscles of the hand that affect the hand, but it's coming from outside the hand itself, extrinsic. Okay? And there are different compartments. We'll talk about the intrinsic muscles. Like I said, it's coming from within the hand. These are allowing finger movements. So those little muscles in the hand that's allowing finger movements. And you have three compartments in here. Okay. So you have the first compartment being the thenar eminence, that eminence on the, at the base of the thumb. These are all thenar eminence. Okay. And you would best remember this by remembering AFO, abductor pollicis brevis. By definition, it moves the thumb away. Abductor, that's the movement. Pollicis, that is the Latin for thumb. Okay. Brevis, meaning it's a fat muscle. Abductor pollicis brevis. Okay. And then you have a muscle that's called flexor pollicis brevis, pollicis brevis. What it does is it bends the thumb. And then you have a muscle that is acting on opposing the thumb. And this is called opponent's pollicis or pollicis. Okay. So this is what you would find on the thenar eminence. It's brevis because it's fat. It's wide. Okay. So you have the abductor pollicis brevis, you have the flexor pollicis brevis, and you have the opponens pollicis. Okay. So that's the one that is at the base of the thumb. You have another eminence in the hand, and this is the hypothenar. Thenar is thenar. So thenar muscles. Okay. And then the hypothenar, which is the smaller one. And this is at the base of the little finger. And you can have a few things in here. You have the abductor digiti minimi. Okay. So you can see abductor, that's the movement. You have the flexor digiti minimi and the opponent's digiti minimi. So it mirrors the thing in the thumb, the thenar eminences. So you have the movement of abductor, meaning the little digit, minimi, the tiny little digits, which is the pinky. So it's fun, isn't it? Abductor digiti minimi, flexor digiti minimi, opponent's digiti minimi. Minimi. Okay. And then the last component of the intrinsic muscle would be the mid-palm muscles. And these are the lumbricals. Okay. And what they do is they help bend the fingers at the knuckles and they straighten the tip. So that is lumbricals. Right. So try and remember this. If you bend the knuckles, but you keep the fingers straight, that is lumbricals. And there are four lumbricals. Okay. And then you have the interossei. Inter meaning in between, ossei is in between the bones. So interosseous muscles. Okay. So you have the palmar interossei and then you have the dorsal interossei. And they're referring to where they're originating from. So the palmar interossei would be responsible for the adduction. And then the dorsal would be for the abduction. So if you have a hand who can't abduct and adduct, look at the muscles in between those joints, the metacarpal joints. You can see that there's a groove in it. It just meant that they're not active. Okay. So the palmar and dorsal interossei. For me to remember it, I just use the cue called pad dab. Pad is palmar adduction. Dab is dorsal abduction. Okay. And now let's move on to the extrinsic muscles. Okay. And when it comes to extrinsic muscles, you can have extrinsic muscles that are coming from outside. They have two functions. Either it flexes the hand or it extends the hand. So with the flexors, you can have, this is on the palm side. So you have flexor digitorum superficialis, okay? Flexor digitorum profundus and the flexor pollicis longus. Okay, so how do you best remember this? Flexor, that's the thing that it would do. Digitorum, it will flex the digits. Superficialis at the superficial level, okay? So what this does is it bends the proximal interphalangeal joints, superficialis, okay? The next thing would be flexor digitorum profundus. It's the profound one. It flexes the distal IP joints. Okay. So proximal digitorum profundus. And then the another one is the flexor pollicis longus. Remember, there is a flexor pollicis brevis. It's brief. It's wide. It's on the thinner eminence. Now the flexor pollicis longus is more coming from outside, so originating from the forearm. Okay. And all these does is all flexors. Okay. Now, another one that is responsible for extending the hand, you have extensorum. All right. They all extend the fingers. Okay. And then you have, which is important, the index finger has its own little extensor. So that's why it's called extensor indices. And then the little finger also has an extensor of its own. And it's called extensor digiti minimi. Okay. And then for the thumb, you have extensor pollicis longus and brevis. Okay. So all the extensors of the thumb are all coming from outside. Okay. Now, what else do we know? Let's moving on to other anatomical parts, tendons and ligaments. What does tendons do? What do tendons do? They connect the muscles to bones, okay? And the ligaments, on the other hand, they connect bones to other bones, okay? So tendons is muscle to bone. Ligament is bone to bone. So you have flexor tendons, and these are all running through the palm, and it's allowing the finger bending. You have extensor tendons. And again, when you're talking about tendons, it's connecting muscles to the bone. So extensor tendons, and it's running along the back of the hand to straighten the fingers. Okay. And then there is this thing, which is the connective tissue that provides the structure of the palm. This is the one that gets damaged when somebody gets injury. The palm has got a good shape, and that is called palmar aponeurosis. Okay. I don't know how else you would remember that. Palmar, okay, aponeurosis. I don't know why there's neurosis in there, but that's what it's called. Okay, there we go. Those are the tendons and the ligaments. Now moving on to another part, which is there's only easy to remember the nerves. There are three nerves in the hand. Okay, this is the median nerve, which is the middle part. Okay, and they control the thumb, the index, middle, and the lateral side of the ring finger. Okay. And this is the one. So median nerve is all the problems that involves the flexion of the thumb, index, ring, and part of the ring finger. Okay. So that's median nerve. And a compression in here is called the carpal tunnel syndrome. So when you have carpal tunnel syndrome, it's the median nerve that is affected. Okay. We'll talk more about peripheral nerve injuries at some point, but for now, we're just talking about anatomy. The next, on the medial part of the ring finger, okay, is the ulnar nerve, and the little finger flexor, that's also an ulnar nerve. So it controls the pinky in the part of the ring finger. And what happens in here is that if you have a problem, you have a claw hand. All right. So you can't bend. Okay. And then anything to do with extension of the fingers and the wrist, it would be the radial nerve. And a problem on the radial nerve will cause a condition called a wrist drop. Very easy. You okay? We're still with me? Very good. Now let's talk about the blood supply of the hand. So it is in reference to just two arteries, radial artery. It's an artery on the radial side, and ulnar artery, the one is on ulnar side. Now let's talk about the movements of the hand. So you only have a few types of movement in the hand. So you have flexion and extension. That's easy. Flexion is bending. Okay. And then extension is straightening. All right. So also you would have the abduction and adduction, particularly of the fingers. So abduction is fingers moving away from each other. Adduction is fingers moving towards each other. Now for the thumb, you have opposition and reposition. So thumb meaning touching the fingers, and then reposition would be going away from it. So opposition, the opposite of opposition is reposition. That's quite new for me, really. But there you go. And the last movement that you would see, it's not really the hand that's doing this, but it is what you would observe when the forearm is activating on it. And this is a movement that is described as pronation and supination. So it's not a hand movement, really, but it is more of a wrist and the forearm movement. So there we go. So overall, guys, if we want to review, there are 27 bones in the body. Oh, not the body, 27 bones in the hand. And you call it the carpals, the metacarpals in the phalanges. You have the muscles are either intrinsic, and which are all coming from the thenar eminence and the hypothenar eminence. You have extrinsic muscles that are responsible for flexion and extension as well. You have the nerves, which are three nerves. The median nerve, which is responsible for movement of the radial side of the fingers in the hand. Ulnar nerve, and you have the radial nerve. Okay, did I say ulnar nerve? Okay, let's review. The nerves again is the median nerve, yeah, for the thumb, index, middle, and ring. The ulnar nerve, which would be part of the ring, and the little finger. And then radial nerve would be for all extension movements. And then you talk about the arteries, in which we only have two. Radial artery, we have ulnar artery. These are all in reference to the bones, okay? Radial artery, because it's on the radial side. What's on the radial side? It's the radius. What's the radius? That's the bone of the forearm, okay? And then the ulnar side is more on the ulna, which would have been the bone, okay? And then we talked about the tendons and ligaments. Okay, there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed this little talk and you found it a little bit entertaining. Oh, one more thing, just one more factoid. The ring finger is very special in a way because it has two nerves. The median nerve on the lateral side going towards the thumb, and then the ulnar nerve going to the little finger. Okay, so M and U, that's why, for you to remember this, that's why you put the wedding ring in there, because it's me loves you. There you go. All right, there you go. Like I said, I hope you find this talk and conversation entertaining. And if you found it useful, talk to your friends about it. Have this discussion together. Sit down over a cup of tea. Learn together and grow together. And just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time.